My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher A. Lambert, recording this particular edition on Sunday, April 21st, 2024. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Give this show a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you would like to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival and subscribe. It's $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 716. There's no guest. It's just me sitting here alone with my big jug, my big gallon mug of Wawa water. Not necessarily, it's not Wawa water, it's Brita filtered water in my Wawa 64-ounce mug. Very exciting stuff happening here in the podcast studios. I want to talk about some things. I want to talk about some comedy dates I got coming up. I want to talk about some women's basketball. I want to talk about a video game that I'm playing, a trip to the mall, and Jerrod Carmichael. Let's see where we get. Comedy was pretty good this week. I got booked to do comedy, folks. Shout out to Molly Brenner and Laura Merrily, who booked me on Good Girl. They were not there, but they had a guest host. It was fun. I had a good time working on some new bits, telling a new story on stage. I don't know where that story will go, but it was pretty cool. It was fun. It was fun to just like kind of hang out and do comedy, meet some new people. It was fun. It brought me back to the good old days when I was meeting new people. There's just so many new comics every time you go somewhere. So I had a good time. I'll give you some. Oh, tonight, if you're in Brooklyn tonight, I'll be at Blinky's Bar doing some jokes. I'm excited for that. I'm trying to get back to my essence and going back to the areas where it started for me. Brooklyn was really where I started doing comedy, really, because I always say I was like in the downtown comedy scene early, like in 2009. And then when there was a club called Comics, which was around when I started. So it might have been around, I don't know if that place was around 2 or 3 years or whatever it was. I was on the latter half of that club's existence. The only headliner show that I had seen was Maria Bamford there. So that might have been maybe 2009, maybe 2010 or 11, something like that. And then once that club closed, they had a downstairs room called Ochi's Lounge, which was, I think it was named after the bathroom attendant, who work there, and they had a little room. So that's where I cut my teeth until that closed, and then a lot of stuff moved over to Brooklyn, and then there were Lower East Side shows also. But most of the stuff, most of the shows were over in Brooklyn, and Hannibal Buress had his Knitting Factory show. I was talking to a younger comic, and I was like, yeah, you know, I used to do the Knitting Factory. And he was like, oh, when such and such? I was like, no, Hannibal. And they're like, oh, he was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So that's like 15 years in next month. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool accomplishment. And I'm still here, you guys. Still here. Still making the yuck yucks. Still doing this podcast. Still doing it. Still doing it. Yeah, so it's always good. So I'll be at Blinky's tonight if you're in the area. On May 4th, I'm going to be in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, doing the Zip Store Comedy. Well, that's the production team, but they've got it's going to be at the Crown. It's going to be at the Holiday Inn, formerly the Crown Plaza. I believe I stayed at the Crown Plaza when I was doing a comedy festival in almost 9-10 years ago. I think I stayed there. Yeah, so they're going to do comedy there. I'm going to be there telling jokes. And on the website, it says Zip Store Comedy was founded by Dave Zip Zerbato and Ricky Store, two lifelong Berkshire County residents in 2005. In that time, they produced a bunch of shows. And the comics that have been on the show, Zip Store has brought some of the biggest names in comedy to Pittsfield before they were stars. Bill Burr, 5 Netflix specials, HBO's One Night Stand, F is for Family, Nate Bargatze. Obviously, you know who that is. John Mulaney, Michael Che. So I'm in good company. So I hope after doing this show, I hope I do a great job. And then I will be, all you had to do, because they did show a picture of Bill Burr when he had hair. So you know that was a while ago. So I'm in the company of greatness. One of my comedy heroes, the GOAT. So that means I'll be goated next, you guys. I'm you know, pretty major too. Well, one day I will be. Like the Kanye song. Remember when we liked Kanye? We major that record off of Late Registration. Feeling like I never found anyone today. That album, the first two albums did kind of make me feel bad for going to grad school and going through college. They really did hit the nail on the head with that stuff. I would be riding the bus listening to those skits. I think that was D-Ray on those skits. We ain't got it broke, five broke. We ain't got it. All right. And then also just got this booking this week. I'll be at the Comedy Cabana in Myrtle Beach, May 21st through the 23rd. So I make my triumphant return after almost 10 years. I remember featuring there. I did like 8 shows featuring there. Staying at the comedy in the comedy condo down there. It was really nice. I'll be back. I'll be headlining this time. So that's cool. For 3 days in South Carolina, I'll get to go to Zaxby's and I'll get to go to Publix. So I'm excited about that. That's, most people are like, where can I get some drugs? Where can I get some Coke or some X or whatever drugs people are taking? No, Chris is just like, hey, I get to go to Publix. I get to go to Zaxby's. Maybe I'll get to see my friend. I did tell him, I was like, hey, I'm coming to Myrtle Beach. And he's like, well, that's not really my area. And plus my daughter's graduating. I was like, all right, well, I don't say that I didn't try. I And this is the thing that comics always face. When's your next one? When are you going to be here the next time? And then you tell them the next time, and they're like, oh, I can't make it. So that is show business. I did have another, I don't know, it's one of those, I was dick teased, guys. I turned in an audition for a movie, a Netflix movie, and they get back to my manager the next day, and they're like, oh, they're checking availability. They want to know, will I shave? Will I, you know, am I willing to shave? I'm like, dude, I'll be there. I'll be there if you book me. And I had to kind of be on call on Friday. So I had my phone on ring. And I'm not usually a person who keeps his phone on ring, just when I'm expecting a call. And, didn't book it, but it was nice to know that at least the silver lining is I had auditioned for, it's two small parts, but I had auditioned for a part a few months ago, didn't book it, but in the same movie, and then the casting directors wanted me to read for something else, and I turned it in, and I was like, oh, we got some good takes, and so that's good to know at least. But it was still kind of sucked. And I was talking on the phone to my mother. My mother was like, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I could tell. And I'm like, not gonna open up to you, Mom, because you'll probably use it as fuel to aid another argument or use my vulnerability against me. So I will just say, but the only other thing is, like, she's like, are you on drugs? Have you paid your rent? Like, yeah, Mom, okay, all right. I know she just goes to the worst thing. I guess that's what parents do. I know my mom does it. I don't know if all parents do that, but when my dad was here, he would just say, ah, fuck him. You'll get him next time. Maybe something else. But really, honestly, what's meant for me will be mine. And in the scheme of things, it's a couple of lines in a movie. We'll see. Would have been nice though. The check would have been nice. Even more than the check, the residuals would be pretty damn good. So I think I'm sniffing around stuff. Stuff's starting to pick up a little bit so in that department. So I am happy about that. I am happy that I feel like I'm getting better as an actor. I was always pretty fucking amazing, but I think I'm evolving as an actor, and you only get better as you get older. So I am happy about that. So the thing would have shot on Saturday, and it would have shot yesterday, and that was like a pretty quick turnaround. But instead of going to the mall, instead of going to the show, I did go to the mall. We'll talk about that in a sec. I spent most of my week, my free time post TPS reports, playing this game called Tunic, and I had talked about this game before. This game came out about 2 years ago, and it came out on Steam and Xbox. And since I don't have an Xbox subscription, I got it on Steam, and I played it for a while. I'm playing it as I'm going through puberty. I played it for a while, and I just didn't like playing it on my laptop. And even when I had it hooked up to my another monitor, I was still kind of like, just not engaged like I normally am. I don't know, unless I get the Jones in. So I've bought this game twice, and now it's currently available on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation, Xbox, obviously, on the Game Pass. It's amazing, and especially if you're let me read you the blurb here on the wiki blurb. Tunic is a 2022 action adventure game developed by Isometric Corp Games and published by Finji. Finji is the same company that produced Night in the Woods, which is a game that Ron and Karen recommended to me a few years back. And it's really, Night in the Woods, really fun, really good. Just an enjoyable, story-based, kind of a platformer. But it's just a really good, relatively pleasant game. So this company is, Finji is really good. It's the stuff that they got coming up looks pretty dope. Anyway, it is set in a ruined fantasy world where the player controls an anthropomorphic fox on a journey to free a fox spirit trapped in a crystal. This game is shrouded in mystery, where you just wake up on this island and it's so vast and huge and there's crevices. It's definitely an homage to The Legend of Zelda. All these secrets and collectibles that you have to find. But the most important thing that you have to find is pages to an instruction manual, which gives you secret, and they still don't tell you everything about the game. It's still hard. And once you have all the, there's different endings to the game. I have not beat it yet. I'm relatively close. I think maybe a couple more hours in the game, just based on the walkthrough that I am doing. I'm proud of, I was at this point. I've never thought that one of the hardest bosses that I had to fight in the video game, the boss's name is called the Librarian. And I think this might be the hardest, one of the hardest games I've played since Metroid Dread. The boss wise, the fights are like insane. There's three big bosses. I beat the last one last night. But I did use some of the accessibility features on there. And I was just like, fuck it. I'm going to finish this game. I'm not acting like I'm some, I'm not going to act like I'm, what you call it? Like, I'm a casual, I'm just a casual gamer, but I did a lot of the stuff I did on my own. And then you still have to beat the bosses, even though when you go through these guides, you still have to beat them. So, I just want to finish the story because I'm at the point where this shit does have to be fun. And there's so much lore. I would never, on my own, I would never get some of this stuff. Some of the codes, like, then they literally have up, up, down, down, left, right codes that you have to master in order to get, unlock some of the treasures. There's just things that I would have never known. And I think it's based like that to build community for the gamers online. I think that's kind of what it's made for. There's people that have done all these videos and Reddit feeds or whatever you call it on this game. It's terrific. It's fun. Definitely, if you play it, get a manual, get on YouTube, and it'll make the experience more enjoyable. You still have to beat these bosses, and you still have to go through the things yourself and execute. But there were just, I just got to a point last night where I was just like, I'm moving past some of this shit. Cause the people, I'm low-key blaming it on one of the YouTubers who was like, no, you didn't tell me about this ladder or how to get there. You just skipped and made yourself look good and edited what you did. So now you're fucking me up on my journey. So I had to, you know, make some changes. What else was I going to say about this? So I'm playing this all day. So I'm waiting for my girlfriend to come over. And we're either gonna go to the mall or just hang out and watch a movie. And we're gonna go to just at, before she came over, we were just like, oh, we'll see. Because I wanted to go to Mall of the American Dream Mall, which opened in Rutherford a few years ago. And I had never been. And she said, oh, I've been, you know, I've taken my niece and nephew, and they like playing at the Nickelodeon stuff and going on the little rides and stuff that they have. And I was like, oh, so it's like mainly for kids. She said, well, they have other stores. And so she didn't get to work because she's late. So she comes over around like 3, I want to say. And I had finally beaten the librarian. And I was just kind of like, I felt like Tom Hanks at the end of Captain Phillips, just like, oh, I finally beat him. And then I was just like trying to get unlock different trophies and using different codes and stuff, like going around the world trying to pick up like items and all that stuff. And so she comes over while I'm in the middle of that, and I'm just about to get one, and she's sitting on my couch, and she's like, I was like, so what do you want? I was like, I gotta finish this one part. And thank God she didn't come over while I was fighting this librarian. I think she probably would have broken up with me. But I was like, so what do you want to do? You know how some women, some girlfriends, I was like, so what do you want to do? Do you want to go to the mall, or do you want to like watch a movie here, or what do you want to do? And she's like, I don't know, whatever you. And I was like, no, what do you want to do? I want to go to the mall. I was like, well, let's go to the mall. So we went down. It's like 20 minutes away from me. That place is massive. And what I just realized this morning, that it's the second largest mall in the United States, next to Mall of America. So I just thought it was just like a huge ass mall, but it has over 450 stores. We went into, I said, oh, well, I know they have a Mrs. Fields cookies there. And we'll do that. We could just walk around and hang out. It was intense. Like it was hard to find a parking spot. We had to find a spot all the way up on the like third floor parking deck, when you know like the highest you can go on the parking deck when it's like outside and there's no covering and all that. And it was fucking ridiculous. It was a shit show. There were tons of people there. It was just a lot. And she kind of got, she went into like Sephora and got something, and like, she's like, I want to go. I was like, well, I thought she was just looking around at headphones and stuff. And I was like, well, this is good. If you wanted to get this, she's like, I'll just order them online. I was like, all right. So I was like, well, let's check out Mrs. Fields or get a snack or something. She got a smoothie, and I went to Mrs. Fields. Mrs. Fields cookies, you get three, buy three, get one free. I had not been to Mrs. Fields in at least 3 years, because the last time I went to Mrs. Fields was in the city, and I was in the play, and we were just around. I didn't even know they had a Mrs. Fields near MSG. I think me and a cast member were walking around, and we went. At least 3 years. Three for one, three cookies plus one, the free one they give you, $14. I was like, damn, insane. But those cookies were amazing. Still amazing. Still great. I have fond memories of going to Mrs. Fields with my mom when I'd take her to the shopping center at Tyson's Corner. We used to go, and she'd go to, I think I talked about this before, she'd do Cinnabon, I'd do Mrs. Fields, and we'd have a good time. But that place is massive. It is insane. And it was just like a shit ton of people everywhere. It was a lot. It was a bit of a shit show there. But it was nice to see, and all of that, it was still nice to see people out. I mean, it's still, I know we're quote unquote past COVID and everything, but you just don't see that anymore. And especially the way people talk about folks not going to, people ordering stuff online. People are still at these malls. I mean, they're still at, like, the Garden State Plaza mall used to be the largest mall in New Jersey. Obviously, American Dream dwarfs it, but I see it's a shit ton of people there all the time. But American Dream was massive. But I think it's, unless you have kids or something, like, I think it'd probably be more fun to go with kids. I think there's an aquarium in there. And then she was telling me about, what's his name? Marcus, is it Marcus Samuelson? He has a restaurant there. The guy who I believe Red Rooster. He has Red Rooster in Harlem, which I haven't gone to yet. I'd rather go to Harlem, and I'd rather cross state lines and go to Harlem and then go. It's intense. This place, American, it's almost like a place that you kind of have to go early. What I like to do, what my mom and I used to do, would just be like, hey, let's go. We're getting up and we're going. You're going to, we had a plan of attack. Yesterday, we didn't have a plan of attack. We're just going to just see what was up. But maybe one day we'll check out Marcus Live Bar and Grill. I know we'll have to check that out. What else? TV stuff, BMF. I think they got a couple more episodes. I've been enjoying it. I look forward to the recaps that the homie D Lemon and Ali Muhammad do on In the Conversation. They have the best BMF recap, so I always look forward to that. Oh, I wanted to say this. The WNBA draft was last week. I didn't get to watch all of it, but I just kind of watched all the stuff on YouTube and different things. Now that people have their attention on the game, the women's professional game, just the women's game in general, basketball, they're talking about the pay disparity and like, yeah. And then somebody said, well, yeah, why do you think Brittany Griner was in Russia? What do you think she was doing in Russia to try to get some money? But that means people have to watch. People have to invest in the game and spend more money. I think Kobe and Gigi were good, like getting people involved and into the game, the women's game, that big dope orange hoodie that they were wearing that I see people wearing. I would get one if they got one to fit me. I'm dropping a couple LBs. I can probably get one. But it's going to take time, but I hope more people watch and enjoy the game. And people were saying, this is what Caitlin Clark's going to make for 3 years. And compared to Angel Reese, people were talking about that and complaining about that. But it's like, yo, you have to watch. You have to watch the game. You have to support it. So I'm going to have to start watching more of these games. Seeing the Liberty. The Liberty versus the Indiana Fever, Caitlin Clark's team. Tickets are like $2,400 for that game. I won't be going to that, but maybe I'll go. The Liberty, and they're good. I have to go to a game. I know the homie Justin Williams goes to them. I think he's been to a couple. Everybody's got to do their part so they can get paid. And then talking about Asia Wilson doesn't have a shoe contract, but Caitlin Clark does. Well, that's Asia Wilson's agent's fault to not get her a sneaker. Because these other women have, some of these other women have sneaker deals. So that's, Asia Wilson's the best player in the league. She should have a contract. Of course she should have a sneaker contract. But I don't want it to just be like women relying, these women relying on their sneaker contracts to really give them a good, like, WNBA salary. They need to get that up. I don't know how that happens, but I just kind of feel like people are now just kind of shitting on Caitlin Clark's achievements. It's getting to the point now where it's become like, it's kind of annoying because she is good. It's just because she's white, you know, like, and I'm not caping. I'm not Black Superman caping for, the, the white Lois Lane, but it's just, it's getting to the point now. So it's like, all right, she's good for the game. She's going to be teamed up with Aaliyah Boston, who's also very good, who is the rookie of the year. It's going to be fun to watch this game grow. And people are just, people are going to have those same negative attitudes. Like, they're going to be, people are going to be jealous of her, just like they were jealous of LeBron. Just like people were, and there's a lot of revisionist history on the Jordan stuff too, because a lot of people didn't like Michael Jordan while he was playing. They didn't. I was there. I remember it. I remember like rooting for Michael Jordan, even in even in my family. My dad and I used to watch, I talk about it all the time, we used to watch those WGN games when the Bulls were on that channel. We used to get that feed, and my dad and I used to watch the regular season games and enjoy it. So Caitlin Clark's going to be on TV. There's going to be these other players trying to beat her. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. And I'm excited for college basketball too. We got Juju Watkins, got Paige Beckers coming back for another year. AZ Fudd is hopefully going to be healthy. And I want to see what UConn can do with Paige and AZ on the court together. I'm rooting for that. I want to see. And you got people jumping in the transfer portal. What's her name? Van Lith? Like, she went to TCU. She went jumped in the transport portal and is going to TCU. I don't know how good that team is. Is TCU any good? I don't know if that's like a step down for her. What's her... I just know it's Van Lith. What's her first name? Haley. So we'll see. It's all fun. I think that's the more important thing. We know, everybody knows, and people try to play stupid. Or I don't know if it's black people, some black people, it's not all. But it's like some, I think the journalists, the what's the word I'm looking for? Oh my God. The journalists, the word's on the tip of my tongue. Does it start with an E? No, it starts with an I. The intellectuals, I think, want white people to admit that it's because Caitlin Clark is white that you're excited about this. You're excited about her greatness and the way that she's being marketed. Obviously, it's going to be different and stuff. Black people know. We know it's because she is very good, but we also know that she's very white and she's from Iowa and she's going to be in Indiana, in the Midwest, in the heart of the Midwest. In the state where basketball is, I'm not sure if it was invented there, but where basketball reigns supreme, she's there. And that is why people are excited. That's one of the main reasons why, like C.A. Huggins pointed that out earlier last week, where let's just not play dumb about this shit. but I think it's going to be fun. I think when you make, when you have these stories outside of what goes on in the game, I think that's what makes it more interesting. So I think, you know, I think that's going to make the game more fun. So the more that we know about these women, the better the game is going to be. And I don't, and that's something, obviously, I'm not saying anything new, but I always go back to me, my love of sports. What aided my love of sports in a lot of ways was the stories that these players had in college. You kind of know their story, and these women have to stay until they're 22, I believe, or they're not just one and doners. So we get to know more of who they are, and we get to have an appreciation of them. So when they go into the league, you're following them. You're following all of them, not just your favorite player, but who are their adversaries, and what's that going to be like when they go to go to the league, go to the W. And that's what I had when I was a kid. I've said this ad nauseum. I had the big Athlon College Sports almanac, and I knew these players. I wrote them down in my salt and pepper notebook. I knew their names, and I followed them, and that carried on for maybe 20 years, at least, like when maybe from me being a kid till maybe grad school, I kind of stopped. Like college and grad school is kind of where things tapered off a little bit. And then I got into comedy and stuff and pursuing my own dreams. But, and now you realize the guys you follow, they have kids now in college or about to be in the league or are in the league now. So I think that's only going to get better. And, it doesn't mean that we're going to forget that Asia Wilson is not a beast. You hear Caitlin Clark saying, Maya Moore is my favorite player. It was a good Pat McAfee interview that she had a couple days ago. It's going to be fun. So I'm excited about it. I'm Dawn Staley. They won. They're undefeated. Obviously, people got mad that Caitlin was on SNL, but she's the top player in college basketball. Do I want to see them market these black girls? Of course I do. I posted on Instagram the young lady that got, I think it's Raven Jackson. Caitlin gave her the business last year. And she D'd up Caitlin this year. And I posted it. I'm an advocate. As much as some people try to say you're not. But I appreciate it. I want to see more of it. Because it's starting to make sports fun. Yeah, but Jemele Hill brought up a great point about infantilizing the players, and that's not good. Like how some people in that space do that instead of just, you know, accepting these women as these are players just like the men, and they should be treated the same. So I'm excited for what's to come, and I don't know if I'll be seeing Caitlin. Maybe I'll go see Angel Reese play the Liberty when Chicago comes to town. Or maybe I'll just support the Liberty and see who they... And just see, yeah. Because that Indiana game is... Or I'll just watch it on TV. But I do want to go to a game. I'll have to ask Justin about that to see if he might have some connections. We'll see. All right. So I wanted to mention that. And hopefully in 2K, they'll make these women look better in the game. What is, oh my God, oh my God. Lexi Brown posted on Twitter a few months back how Lexi Brown is gorgeous. And then she showed a picture of what she looks like in the game. It just looks ridiculous. Don't just like get Candace Parker right. Get all of these women right. Get all of the players right. If you're going to put them in the game, make them look right. And let's upgrade 2K for these women looking as good as the men look. You know what I'm saying? Let's get that corrected also. There should be no excuse now. You have the capability to make this shit look good. So you make these women look good too, and expand that as well. There's enough technology for them to do that too. So I wanna see that next year. Next in 2K25. If you know you got my money, 2K. So make the ladies look good. Make them look good. And not trying to sound like a creep or anything like that. To those of you that are just starting to listen, my favorite video game character is Ellie Williams from The Last of Us, and she is a skinny white lesbian. And so don't come at me for the couple hundred of you that listen to this thing. All right. I wanted to talk about Jerrod Carmichael, his reality show on HBO. I'm liking it. I know there's a lot of controversy, him sucking a... Now we know that guy whose toes he was sucking was a Guatemalan man, young man. But I think people just see that as white. Off the rip, people are going to see that as white. I personally like the show. I don't care who he has sex with. My only problem is you're committed to somebody and you're cheating on your boyfriend. That's where it's just like, okay, dude, don't cheat. And what I said, I think I might have said it on the Patreon. I've said in conversations with people off mic. I think he's like his dad. And in the latest episode, that's essentially what he said. What I've known after seeing Rathaniel, I'd only seen Rathaniel when it first came out, and I rewatched it a few days ago, and I liked it even more because of what we now know about him on his reality show. And it's fascinating to me how some people who watch way more reality TV than I do are saying, oh, it's fake. Then there's some people who are saying, oh, he just did this to get around SAG, to get around the SAG rules. I don't think he did that. I think some of this was shot in 2022. I think a bulk of it was shot in 2022 before the strike. I think it was shot when he did the Golden Globes. Anyway, I think that's bullshit. People like complain that, oh, it's not real, it's fake, it's this and that, and they didn't like the slave, the race joke, racial sex joke. I didn't either, but I don't like that bit. But then they're just throwing him out with the bathwater. What Twitter will have you believe. One thing aesthetically, even though it's an unscripted show, or it's purported to be an unscripted show, it reminds me a lot of Louis's FX show, where you have some of his stand up interspersed throughout the episode, and I think a lot of times it closes with his stand up. It reminds me of that format. It's literally like Louis, down to the music. I mean, Louis was kind of doing a Woody Allen-esque thing with that show. I thought Louis' show was great. Louis is, you know, I know he is a, I guess you just, you call him a problematic fave and then just move on with it, you know, for me. And it reminds me of that show. And I know he went on Charlemagne Breakfast Club last week and was talking about things. Two of my favorite interviews on the Breakfast Club would be, one, it would be Bill Burr. Two, it's this Gerard interview, just because they didn't back down to Charlemagne and they didn't acquiesce. And they, it was just like, and Bill gave him shit. Gerard gave him shit too. So I like those interviews, but I think, with Rathaniel, I think generally, let's just say, how do I want to say this? Cause I don't want to generalize, but the way I'm going to say it, it probably will sound like I'm generalizing. I'll just say people collectively after Rathaniel, which I thought was really great because that's the type of comedy that I like. I know it's not for everybody, but the consensus generally, people wanted to, after Rathaniel, people wanted to make Gerard Carmichael this like gay puppy dog. This gay puppy dog who they felt sorry for. His parents didn't accept him. He's wanting the love for his from his mother that's not really, he's not really getting it like he wants to and like he should. But that gay puppy dog kind of with this show is kind of shitting all over the place. And you instead of you rubbing his nose in it, he's kind of rubbing our noses in it. And we do not like that. And we're like, what the fuck, Gerard? We had some trust. We liked you. But now you're kind of, you're sucking a Guatemalan guy's toes and you're having sex with white boys, white guys, not boys, white guys. And where's the black people that you're supposed to be fucking? I don't care about who he sleeps with. I'd like him to be faithful to the guy he said he's supposed to be faithful to. But other than that, I don't really care. Just is the content that you're putting out compelling enough for me to keep watching? And for my Max subscription, it is. And it's we say we accept gay people, but we're not accepting this guy. And I heard really smart and educated people that I think I would think that might be smarter than me. They want to put him, they want to say that he doesn't care. I don't know. They're trying to say he doesn't care about black people because he's sleeping with non-black people. And I never thought that you, now there's, I don't want to say it. It's like they're trying to throw him out because of who he sleeps with. And because he, people don't want black people, people don't want him to be, how do I want to say that? They don't like who he's sleeping with. I think they just, I'm trying to figure out how I want to say that. His experience is a part of the black experience. And there's, and I heard these people say, well, how come, you know, all black people aren't like that? I was like, but this is him. It's his life. You can't be living your life for a whole race of people. You can't. You have to live your life. And if we always say that we're not a monolith, we're still, that's that complex thing that I talk about on stage. We're connect, American black people are, do have this connectedness because of slavery, because of the way that we're treated. But Gerard Carmichael is an artist. And he's deciding to put his life out there the way that he's putting it out there. And it does count as the Black experience. It's an aspect of the Black experience in modern 21st century America. And I heard this guy, I gotta find the clip, where I think the person was on Higher Learning. And I'm not sure if he was a gay man or not. If somebody remembers this, please shout it out and tell me or resend the clip. But I think they were talking about Jerrod Carmichael and just why Black men, gay Black men in general, see, I don't want to say in general, gay Black men sometimes date outside of their race because a lot of times they might have felt a betrayal from the Black men in their life growing up. So they're going outside of that to seek love. I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm saying that sometimes happens. And that's kind of what the guy was saying. That was one. That's just one way. That was just one way for me to just kind of try to wrap my head around it. And I don't know. I think, and then you have, was it Ida Osman said something about his show being on and hers got canceled and Rap Shit got canceled. I loved Rap Shit. I thought it was great, but ain't nobody talked about it. Nobody talked about that show. I enjoyed it. Now I heard some people say they didn't, but I really liked the show. I really did enjoy that show, and I watched religiously. As soon as they popped that show up on my Apple TV, as soon as it dropped, and if I was awake, if it was like late at night or early in the morning, I would watch it. I love that show. But I think Carmichael's show probably much cheaper to produce. That show premiered when after Rap Shit had already been canceled, after season 2 had been completed. And then there's also this upheaval with all these streamers anyway, where the scripted shows are getting taken off. I don't think Rap Shit was I don't think Carmichael's show got replaced by I don't think Rap Shit got replaced by Carmichael's show. But I think that was just a dig at him. And I don't know. I think I kind of have some kind of, when Jerrod Carmichael first rose to fame, I was hating a little bit. I was hating because you do this special, one, you're a few years in and you get this HBO special that Spike Lee directs and you use your notes. I didn't like that. A paid show, let alone a special to use notes. I was like, what the fuck is he doing? You know, but I just still, I really enjoyed his show. One, and then the first reason, he kind of looks like one of my closest friends. Tall, skinny, dark-skinned dude. Reminds me of one of my friends that I grew up with. I don't know. It just kind of makes me... I just feel like pushing back to a lot of the naysayers on this one. I know everybody's not going to agree and all that, you know, but I do like the show. I think there's a place for it in the culture, just like anything else. Just like a lot of people like reality TV, whatever their version of it is, they like that stuff too. And I don't think a show that comes on at 11 o'clock on Friday night is hurting anybody. If you don't like it, you don't have to watch it. But it is compelling. This last episode with his father was pretty beautiful. It reminded me of like hanging out with my dad. My dad and I used to go on trips like that. And I almost got teared up a little bit when it got to these emotional points. And the way that it was edited, the way that he intersperses it with, puts, I don't know if he did, I think he was out of the editing. He claims, he says that he wasn't in the editing room. So the way that they show old home videos, it's, it was really beautiful. And I think there's some good shit in there. Like him talking to his dad, him being emotional, having, trying to have a serious conversation, and him having that discovery that he is like his father after watching that special. That was the groundwork. That was the edifice, the foundation of what this reality show is about. Yeah, are there some cringe moments in it? Of course, but is there some weird stuff? That really, the suck in the toes is nothing compared to standing up your friend at his wedding. Like skipping your friend's wedding, one, because you don't want to wear clothes from Men's Warehouse, and you're going to go eat a hot dog as opposed to just going to your friend's wedding, who's supposedly your best friend. He made it up to him at the end, which was sweet, but it's like, dude, you're an asshole. And I said that he wasn't, he even said that he wasn't such a nice guy in some of the interviews in the press leading up to the show's premiere. But I think some people, if it's just not, it's not for everybody. And I think you can just tap out by saying, oh, this one isn't for me. It's not my thing. But I do find it interesting and compelling. And for my taste, the way that he is now performing, because they even showed some of his stand-up little clips of him talking about having a girlfriend and wanting a girlfriend, how that wasn't true. And now we always say we want people to speak their truth. And just because it's the truth that you don't like doesn't mean that it's not worth being in the culture. And I think that's kind of that's a bit of a dangerous thing. Am I going too far a little bit? That's almost like on some Fahrenheit 451 shit. Because if you're going to say that it's not a part of the black culture or the zeitgeist, then just because it doesn't appeal to you, it should be stricken away. That's not cool either. So I just think it's something to think about. And I think there's a place for it. And I'm sorry that rap shit got canceled. There's plenty of shows that I really enjoyed that got canceled. It's a wonder that a show like that even got two seasons, which I was happy for it to get two seasons. It's almost just the way that they're getting rid of these shows that could have at least 3 to 5 seasons. You know, but we're not considering all, and I didn't even mention all the other factors, but for one, streamers, you know, are it's in a place of upheaval. It's a place of uncertainty. I had other friends' shows get canceled because they didn't know what they were going to be doing at the network. You see what's happening with Showtime merging into Paramount and movies, different properties moving from, which used to be on Max, they're moving to Netflix, and they're going, some of them going to Hulu and this place and that place. It's just, it's a lot of other factors that have to be considered. But, I think it's a good show, and I understand it if you don't want to watch, but people want their stuff to be in a perfect little box. And sometimes it's not always going to be like that. And then the people that you like, these celebrities, they're people too. They're flawed just like everybody else. And I think it's a lesson to take that these people aren't all that great, and all that money doesn't make you happy. Clearly, if you look at this show, if you watch Rothaniel, if you watched any episodes before you tapped out, it's it doesn't make you happy. It helps. It doesn't solve everything, but it could help. But it doesn't. You got people with so much money taking themselves out, ending their lives. It's not everything. And you got to find something to help get you through this thing called life. You got to find some kind of love. And we all need it. And we all need it. We all need love. I guess I'll end on that. We all need love. Come see me where I'm performing. And I'll help you forget that we're all going to die. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you got something out of that. I'm excited about this week because Challengers is finally out. I'm being a good boyfriend by not seeing the advanced screening on Monday, waiting until Friday, until my girlfriend has the time to see it with me. So that's what I'm doing. I am a good person. I will have some type of review on Challengers, a Challengers extravaganza of some kind. St. Vincent's album, All Born Screaming, is also coming out on Friday. I think I'll be listening at midnight. I will be taking an old man nap. I will have my earbuds charged to give the St. Vincent album a listen. Maybe we'll have a review. Maybe there's going to be a restructure with someone. I'm not going to say who it is. You know who the person is if you're a fan of this show. The person already said yes that they would do it, but when they're we're gonna make sure their schedule's good and we can make it happen. There's stuff that I'm trying to make happen, so we'll see what happens. How many times can I say happen over the course of the rest of this show? But things are in the oven for the pod the next couple weeks. Patreon folks, you'll have something soon. I definitely am excited about the St. Vincent album and Challengers. Zendaya and Annie this week. Everybody, thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you all next time. Take it easy, everybody.